I think they feel like they can get to 40, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think in a race to 40, I really like the over. Hello, welcome to Always College Football. Today is Thursday, November 10th, and I want to give a shout out to my sister. Today is her 30th birthday. And if we have podcast numbers that are spiking in Paris, France, it's because of her. At least I hope it's because of her. But Blair, happy birthday. We love you. We hope you're enjoying your 30th birthday rendezvous alongside your friend Ashley. I feel like they're in the, you know, the Passport to Paris, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen video. I mean, I remember they watched that thing on repeat when they were like 10, and now they are 20 years later in Paris. I'm jealous, but hopefully you're watching some college football this weekend because that's what you should be doing. Maybe there's a sports book over in Paris that you can find some action at because you know it's Thursday. We're going to get into the angles. We're going to make some prognostications. We're going to make some picks. We're going to make you some money. So let's not waste any time. Let's get to it. It's Chris the Bear Felica.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Every college football season, Goodyear knows the importance of winning on the road. The road will always demand confidence, the confidence to handle whatever the journey brings and to perform under tough conditions. And just like the players and the fans of college football, Goodyear is ready. Are you ready for the road? Visit Goodyear.com to find the right Goodyear tires for whatever road you're on this season. Goodyear, more driven. All right, we welcome him in. You guys have been giving him a difficult time for how he's performed on the board on College Game Day. He's 14 and 16 on the board, but if you were to dive a little bit deeper into Chris the Bear Felica, he is ripping on his column. If you go to ESPN.com, you're 36 and 16 in the column, correct, Bear?
Yeah, yes. I'm doing a wonderful job of picking all of the losers and games that I like get involved in later in the week after I submit the column on Wednesday night. So Danny Sheridan actually reached out to me and he's like, 2 weeks ago when I went 0-3 on the board, he's like, you told me earlier in the week you like blah blah blah, like three underdogs that like all won outright. I haven't put any of them on the board. He's like, why are you changing your mind? So yeah, it's hysterical. I think if you took like the 36 and 16 from the column, I'm second behind you in the triple option on Daily Wager. I'm in a cashing position right now. I think of the Will Hill contest in Vegas. I'm like right there in like the top 25 in the Golden Nugget contest. Like everything else except the board, I'm having an unbelievable year, and it absolutely sucks because like that's the thing that most people see.
Of course,
look, I get it. I made a joke of myself last week about how bad I am deciding what games to put on there. So hopefully,
the good news is I consume all your content. So you're doing great in my eyes.
You're a sicko like me. We love it.
Right. Perhaps I am. Let's get into it. Speaking of sickos, Tulsa and Memphis tonight. I don't know if you want to touch that one. Georgia Southern and Louisiana. Any Thursday night action for you, Bear?
No, this is sorry. Pass.
I can't believe you're resisting that quality. I do think there's some action to be found on Friday. East Carolina against Cincinnati. Cincinnati to me has been a bit of an enigma. They've opened as a 6-point favorite. That thing's down to 5. I really like East Carolina in big games. I just don't love them away from home. They're in Cincinnati for this one. Do you have a lean? I lean towards taking the points because I think it'll be close, but Bear, I don't know. On the road, it makes it a little tricky for me to back the Pirates. Yeah,
it does. I would probably lean towards the other way. There's actually a 4.5 out there right now as I'm looking at the board at South Point. So if you like Cincinnati, you can see my good friend Chris Andrews at the South Point and head on over there and give him some business. And lay the 4.5. But I might disagree with you here and lead towards Cincinnati, who, like you said, this is the team that is not as good as they were last year. I think it's going to obviously take some time for them to gel and come together as a team with all the new pieces, and just hasn't come together as quickly, I'm sure, as Luke Fickell and the staff would like. But they're still a good, solid team. But like I said, East Carolina going on the road is a lot better than East Carolina in a big underdog-type spot at home.
Can I talk you into taking 5 touchdowns with Colorado against SC?
Maybe. Maybe you want to buy it up to 35 just to and lay the a little extra juice, but it might actually be an okay week to bet against both USC and UCLA with week. Both bet laying big numbers. I'd actually be more apt to lay it with USC than lay it with UCLA, because I mean, Arizona does have some offensive firepower. UCLA is capable of giving up some big plays, as obviously is USC. But Arizona, obviously, a little bit better of an opponent, and we'll see if UCLA tends to maybe take their foot off the gas late in that game. If indeed they do get threatened a little bit by Arizona, who, oh, by the way, had a 1-score game with USC a couple of weeks ago. But don't you have a problem with the committee rankings right now?
It's absurd.
How USC is 4 spots ahead of UCLA. It's almost like the thing that the committee is focusing on the most is that UCLA had a close call in the second game of the year or whatever it was with South Alabama, and not the fact that they got 2 wins over the committee top 25 and neither game was particularly close.
Completely.
One loss was against a team that's 5th in the country. USC doesn't have anything. Like they've got 1-score wins against Cal, Arizona, Oregon State. I mean, heck, Cal had fewer yards and points against UC Davis than they did against against USC. So it's like I don't get it. Like the committee loves them some USC, and like I said, I know they're going to play next week.
Right.
I know it's going to come out in the wash, but like, I don't get it at all.
This has been, I don't want to say it's the worst committee we've seen so far, but it's damn near. I mean, everyone's doing the best they can, but where Clemson was last week relative to TCU, and then where SC is relative to UCLA, like there are just way too many inconsistencies. I said that UCLA is painfully low. I mean, painfully low at 12. I mean, UCLA's resume is better than Alabama's and Ole Miss's, who sit 2 spots in front of them.
Ole Miss has got nothing on their resume.
They got Kentucky, and how convincing was that? You know, I mean, and Kentucky's at 24. So I digress. I think it'll all work itself out. We can vent about this again next week. But I agree. I like UCLA being where they're at because I can't wait to hammer them against USC next week. That is. I hope they're getting points. I hope they're getting points.
Have you seen any of the no playoff props that you've liked?
I haven't seen any because I try to keep it week to week. But yes, like there have been some that I liked earlier in the season, like Ohio State plus 320 3 weeks ago was really tasty to me. And now I don't think that number is quite as high because Michigan's come on. Mm-hmm. But now Michigan, yes, and Ohio State, no, would be one I'd be very attracted by. Because not that I don't think Ohio State's going to make it. I think they ultimately probably will. But, man, at 3-1, I mean, I might roll the dice there.
Like we talked about on Daily Wager on Monday, Oregon, because I had a feeling the committee was going to have Oregon relatively high. And they were 5-1 to make the playoff on Monday.
Wow!
So it's probably more an indictment of the odds makers thinking that they're going to win out and beat Oregon State and beat Washington, beat Utah, and then beat UCLA again or SC in the Pac-12 championship game. But at 5-1, if they simply get to the conference championship game, the money line on the other side, you're not going to be laying more than 5-1 against Oregon. So,
right.
Like, it was a great opportunity to get a good price. Well, by the way, I think if Oregon wins out, they're going to get in because we talked about this a little bit on the show the other night. Yes, they lost by 40 points or whatever it was to Georgia, but at the same time, you've got to give them a little bit of credit for deciding to play the game in Atlanta against defending national champions to start the year, where if they play Portland State or Utah State or Idaho and they're undefeated right now, the favorable view is that much bigger. Like, it can't just be a situation where if you play the game and you lose, you're done. You only get credit for playing the game if you win. So I think Oregon, I think you can still get them around plus 330 or 340 or so to make the playoffs. I still think there's a bit of value there.
I don't hate that. The other thing, I think the issue would be Tennessee, right? And Tennessee being in the way.
They're in, aren't they in?
I think Tennessee's in a really good spot. But I also think ultimately, if it's a classic between Ohio State and Michigan, well, that they, the loser of that game might have a better, really a better candidacy than Tennessee, who got really beat badly. I know it didn't look that way, but if you watch the game, I mean, if not for the weather, that thing could have gotten real sideways potentially.
That's the key. Did you watch the game?
Right.
The perception of seeing 27-13 in the final score, as opposed to watching the game and feeling like it was 48-10, is a whole lot different.
Yeah, very much so. So I think Tennessee's in a good spot. I would dabble a little. If I could find some value on a UCLA, make the playoff, I would certainly consider throwing a little action at that, especially if it's sitting there 8, 9, 10 to 1. Wouldn't shock me, Bear. I mean, if you look at, they're going to be underdogs at least twice here in the next four games. I mean, what would an underdog parlay, what would a moneyline parlay pay on UCLA for the next four games?
If Oregon's still around 350 or so, UCLA is absolutely 8 or 9 to 1.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
I could be on board with that. Let's talk about this weekend's action. TCU on the road at Texas. I love the Longhorns. I love the Longhorns this week. I don't know why. Probably shouldn't. And if anything else, Bear, this is one where I like the idea of playing Texas first half. They're such a great starting team. TCU traditionally has been a team that has not played well in the first half, but have rallied in the second half. So if I wanted to split it up half to half, I think Texas for sure in the first half, maybe a little first quarter would be worth your while. I don't know how you ever feel about kind of splitting things up like that.
I like that better than simply playing it for the game. Because it's one of those where, you know, every casual bettor out there is going to see TCU's 9-0, they're top four in the country,
yep,
and they're an underdog against Texas. Like, how can that be? And they're going to take the points.
Right.
Do you want to be on that side? I don't. But at the same time, do you want to be on the side with Texas, who is struggling to hold leads and giving up double-digit leads? Like, I sure as heck don't. So this is a no play for me, but I don't hate your Texas first half play at all.
I also like the over, 65.5. I just think TCU is going to get their points, and I'm not sure TCU defensively. I think that this is going to be a very strong rushing attack, and TCU will sell out as much as they can against Bijan, but Sark and company are going to get to 30. I feel like they can, at least. And I feel like TCU's going
to
get
to 30. I think they feel like they can get to 40, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think in a race to 40, I really like the over, obviously, at 65.5. So that would be one that I'd take a peek at as well. LSU on the road at Arkansas. This line stunk on the open, Bear. Opened up LSU as a slight 2-point favorite on the road in Fayetteville. 11 o'clock start for LSU. That time has not been beneficial for LSU up to this point. I'm on the call, so I don't know if you have a lean in this one, but I'm going to abstain.
Interesting. I'm I wish I could pick your brain about this, but I respect your journalistic integrity.
You would never pick anyone's brain about any games that they'd be calling or involved in. You would never do that.
No, not at all. All information is used for the telecast only, and to be held and keep the trust and confidence of all of the coaches who share that information for the telecast. So I would never want to put someone in a position to potentially share anything that they're not supposed to. But my opinion, it's an obvious, is it too obvious of a letdown spot for LSU, where everybody is going to be on Arkansas coming off of that performance last week against Liberty. But I'm just not sure how healthy KJ Jefferson really is. Like, I was hearing like last week, like the players didn't even know who was going to play quarterback, like leading up to the game. So I don't like where Arkansas is right now. I actually might lean towards LSU in this game in kind of a little bit of a contrarian play. Like, if I had to play the game and you had to make the circle on the pick a pool sheet, I would play LSU, but I wouldn't play it for a ton for real money. But I do think it's interesting how this game ties in to Alabama Ole Miss. We were just talking about Ole Miss. Like, you know, Alabama, you know, they're wired to win SEC and national championships.
Yeah.
If LSU were to win at noon, the game's at noon Eastern, Alabama's locked out. Like, how motivated will Alabama be to go out there and play and give it their all, knowing that you don't have a shot to get the SEC title game because LSU, you're not going to win a tie break with LSU because of the loss last week. I'm not sure Bryce Young's shoulder is really super healthy. He did not look – did not make the type of throws that I'm used to seeing him make last week in Baton Rouge. I don't know if that was just play calling, receiver issues, or what. I would not play Alabama Ole Miss before knowing the result of LSU Arkansas, because I think motivation here will be key. And I don't want to say you're going to get Alabama players checking out if LSU does win, but I do think at some point there might be a decision made moving forward for next year when a lot of these guys go to the NFL. But yeah, if you're looking to play Alabama Ole Miss, I would wait.
Human nature, I think, would indicate certainly there'd be subconsciously there'd be disappointment if the result, for instance, in LSU Arkansas was sideways in favor of LSU. How could you not take the field with some layer of disappointment? I think that would only be totally expected under the circumstances. Notre Dame also a letdown spot. This one reeks. This thing opened up at 19 in some places, 17 and a half in others. It steamed down quickly to 15 and a half. Here's my thing, Bear. I don't think Navy can run it on Notre Dame.
No.
I would lay the points.
Too many injuries on the offensive side of the ball, right?
Yeah, I just think Navy's a mash unit right now, and I don't know how you can possibly – now, don't get me wrong, rivalry game – They're technically the home team, even though it's in Baltimore, right?
Baltimore.
To me, I love Notre Dame in this spot. I think Notre Dame's found something, and they will be able to impose their will on the naval midshipmen, and they're not going to be able to hold up, I don't think, at least in the run game. And I think Notre Dame up front defensively is sound enough to be able to make sure they play their keys and make it very difficult on the Navy offense.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this number will probably continue to drop. People expecting Notre Dame to have a letdown after the win over Clemson last week. But I'm with you. Notre Dame doesn't throw it that well at all either. But I think defensively they'll have a really good success rate in slowing down that Navy offense. So I would wait a little bit and see if we can maybe get this down to 14 and a half or 15 or so or somewhere in that range and then hop in.
I like that. Georgia, Mississippi State. Found this interesting. I know it's not at Georgia, but Bama played Mississippi State earlier in the year. Bama was a 22-point favorite at home. I believe it closed around there, north of a 3-touchdown favorite. Now on the road in Starkville, and I don't know what Davis Wade Stadium's worth, but Georgia only a 16-point favorite, Bear. This one kind of shocked me a little bit. Like, I think Georgia matches up as well, if not better, than Alabama does against Mississippi State, and yet the number's lower. But do you think Davis Wade's worth 6 points? That just seems like a lot for a home environment.
No, I don't. And again, I think it's about the situation. I think it's the Georgia had their Super Bowl last week, showed up, showed out, showed why they're the defending national champion and why they're favored to win the title again. They're going to the SEC championship game. And I think we talked about human nature and disappointment with Alabama if LSU were to win. I think it's just human nature to expect maybe Georgia not to be razor sharp like they were last week. I mean, you just imagine the practice week that they had under Kirby Smart last week, and it showed. They came out breathing fire. I think it's going to be a challenge for them to keep that intensity level, and maybe they do come out a little bit slow, and it takes them a little while to get going. I don't think Miss State can beat them, but at the same time, I understand why you think the line might be a little low.
It would make some sense, too. I mean, also, at the same time, Bama sees this style of offense every year, or at least they have for the last three. Georgia doesn't see it as often, obviously being an Eastern team. So maybe Mississippi State will better be able to move the football against Georgia, even though the personnel at Georgia is a little bit better than that of Alabama. The interesting total of the week is Wake Forest, North Carolina. That thing opened at 78.5, down to 78 right now. Bear, this is... After SMU Houston, no total to me is off limits anymore. Like, I'll take the over here. I don't trust either defense. I love both quarterbacks. Like, I think it's going to be an absolute track meet. I think we could see a scenario where it's 56-49, not quite to the extent where it's App State, North Carolina, but that wouldn't shock me. So how do you feel about the over in this scenario at 78?
What wasn't it like 51-45 or something last year?
It was up there. It was up there.
I mean, I think over is the only side you can play, and I hate saying that because it's deep. I mean, but I actually like Wake Forest in the game here.
Wow.
They've basically thrown up on themselves the last couple of weeks with the amount of turnovers that they've had. It's 11, two awful performances on the road, turning the ball over. Now you've got North Carolina, who started to get noticed. May is a Heisman guy now, as he should be. I still think North Carolina gets to the ACC championship game. I still think they have a great chance to win the ACC championship, but this just feels like a good spot to lay the 3.5 with Wake coming off of two terrible performances on the road. You would assume that Sam Hartman's not going to have a third disastrous game in a row in turning the ball over. Good spot, I think, to hop in on Wake Forest this week.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. They have been so painfully bad, and this would be an opportunity to kind of right their ship, if you will. It might not mean much for the future, but I would have to agree. Even though I've loved Carolina, took Virginia last week. Back door was open, thank goodness, and they got through it. It was a thing of beauty, and you saw it coming from a mile away. It was just a thing of beauty. Meanwhile, Tulsa, on the other hand, I'm not talking about them for a while. They're on the list. They killed me last week. So remember, but meanwhile,
yeah, Tulsa was a pretty popular dog last week, I think, in that situation.
I know I was on the board, that's for sure. A&M Auburn, another popular dog. The line is flipped. It was A&M opened up on their side. Now it's Auburn -1.5. And I actually think Auburn's the right play here, Bear. A&M's putrid against the run. Defensively, they've struggled. I think Auburn actually is probably going to come into the game with a little more fire. They played very hard last week, obviously, in Carnell Williams' debut as the interim head coach. I think Auburn just has a little bit more motivation in this one to go out and play well in front of their home fans.
I guess, but this isn't a game I'd want any part of. It is so funny. It is so funny, though, because you got like the coaching dysfunction bowl, and you got the guy on the other sideline and Jimbo Fisher, the guy that Auburn has been coveting forever. And now I almost get the sense that, like, if, like, A&M lost him, like, they wouldn't care. It's just a weird game that I don't want any part of at all. Heaven help you. Whatever you deserve, whatever you get for getting involved in this game.
All right, so Bears on Auburn. All right, perfect. Sounds good. UCF Tulane, another interesting one.
I'm rooting for my friend Greg McElroy.
There you go. I appreciate that.
Whoever you land on, that's what I'll support.
Now we're talking. As a guy that lives in Birmingham, I can promise you I might have a little interest in that one. All right, I can promise you that. UCF Tulane, I think UCF's the play here. And sounds crazy, Bear. But for whatever reason, this thing is steamed away. UCF's been in the spot more than Tulane. I've been so impressed with Tulane's defense at times this year. I think they can run the football, but I think UCF can too. Am I crazy for liking the road team that's been in the spot before?
No, you're not. I think you're getting the marquee offensive player.
There he goes. You're like me last night. We were struggling. We had to tape after 8 o'clock at night. I was like a disaster. So we're on the same page. I get it.
The 4 o'clock wake up call for the 6 a.m. flight comes real early. But
yeah, it does.
No, I mean, they have obviously UCF, the marquee player in the game in John Rice Plumlee. I think Gus Malzahn's done a good job. I don't know though. There's something about this Tulane team with Anderson and some of the players that they have. They play really, they're so well coached. They don't make dumb mistakes. I actually like Tulane in this game. But biggest home game they've had in years.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to potentially get to the New Year's Six, big deal for them. I like Tulane in this game.
I like that. All right, a couple more, Bear, and we'll get you out of here and get you to bed. Purdue, Illinois. Purdue struggled last week with Iowa, and Iowa feels a lot like Illinois. I'm trying to figure out how you can justify taking the dog in this scenario. I like the Illini. I'd lay them, even though that line kind of has me a little tripped out, opening at 7, dropping to 6.5. So that move scares me, moving off a football number, but I can't unsee the inability that I saw from Purdue last week. And I think their interior offensive line is really going to struggle against those defensive tackles.
At the same time, though, you want to lay 6.5 with Illinois, who – had a ton of trouble last week with a terrible Michigan State team. Like,
and they got Michigan next week.
I don't know, dude. I would actually lean towards taking Purdue here. I might actually take a little chance on taking Purdue on them. Like, look, Illinois has been a great story, and their running game and their defense has been fine. But, like, that's not going to be a formula that week in and week out. At some point, you're going to need to generate big plays and generate a passing game, and you're going to face some adversity when you're in a lot of the games that are kind of shortened in possessions because of running the ball and clock. Like, I don't know. I would lean towards Purdue and might even take a chance on the money line with the Boilermakers there. The Big Ten West is scary.
Yeah, it is. Winners 8-4 there at the top of the Big Ten West, or at least we're looking like a collision course there. Purdue might be a little too good for Illinois to lose to them. That might be part of it too. They only lose to terrible teams. Any others, Bear, that stand out to you? I mean, yeah. I'm just seeing the board right now. It's kind of a weird week. I feel like Vegas is sharpening. Miami, Georgia Tech stood out to me just a hair. Miami, just a 1.5-point dog. I don't know how.
You like Texas?
Georgia Tech's been playing much better. I
mean, you like Tech, right?
I'm sorry?
You like Tech, right?
Texas Tech? Absolutely.
You like Georgia Tech, is I was saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I like Georgia Tech. You do too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know how you could back Miami right now. There's too many unknowns, too much uncertainty. Ohio State, huge favorite again, 40-point favorite against Indiana. I don't know. I just can't lay that many points. I just can't. I mean, and by the way, Indiana has at times given Ohio State fits. Now, it's been years since that's been the case. 2 years ago, of course, in COVID. But I can think back to like an opener or two back in like 2015, 2016 with those big, long wide receivers. Indiana, for whatever reason, just kind of gave Ohio State some problems. Now, Ohio State won comfortably, but they won by like 24, not 40. So I don't know if you have a lean on anything else, Bear, but give us the goods if you do.
You actually mentioned one of the teams, Texas Tech. Laying 3.5 at home against Kansas State. Look, you saw the scene last week in Lawrence. That was their Super Bowl. They got their sixth win. They're going to a bowl. Awesome. I'm so happy for them. But now you got to go to Lubbock, and Texas Tech is
already,
has already beaten Texas there. They've drilled West Virginia there. So again, they need two wins to get bowl eligible as well. And you would think that it would be this game that they have circled and the game with Iowa State, as well as the two most likely games that they can win. So give me Texas Tech minus -3.5. I think it's a great spot to play them. And then in the ACC, we talked about North Carolina, Wake. Give me Louisville plus +7 against Clemson. I mean, typically I would be all in to take Clemson in a big bounce back spot like this, but I don't know how either quarterback has any confidence right now. I mean, especially DJ Uiagalelei. Like, you're the guy, but now you're not the guy. And Klubnik comes in, he throws the pick. Offensively, I think they have a ton of problems. Louisville's won four straight games. Defensively, they played so much better this year than I think anybody ever could have imagined. Clemson might escape with the win, but 7 points seems like way too many.
I'm with you. I think Louisville has kind of found something of late, and this would be their Super Bowl. I thought there might be a little bit of look ahead flu. We talked about that game against James Madison last week. Thought there might be a little look ahead flu. Great. Louisville showed me that they're mature. I mean, we're not looking ahead. We're going to take care of business today against a good James Madison team and set our sights at Clemson next week. So I would be with you there. I don't know how you back. Look, if there's a recipe for a get right, I think Clemson can run it down Louisville's throat. But ultimately, quarterback might have to make a play or two. And I tell you this, I wouldn't be comfortable laying north of a touchdown with Clemson at all right now. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care who it's against. North of a touchdown to me seems like a lot in games that could be potentially low scoring. Great stuff, Bear. Awesome, man. We really appreciate you. Thanks so much for hopping on. Now go get some rest and get ready for your game tonight, huh?
Absolutely. We will do that. Some bad weather heading into tennis. So two awful offenses playing in awful weather. What could possibly go wrong?
Give me the over. Let's go. Starting your own small business can be a total roller coaster. Between all those bumpy twists and turns comes the actual business side of your business. which can really throw you for a loop. Luckily, with QuickBooks, you can manage your business with confidence from the start. So no matter how bumpy the ride gets, you can always stay on track. New business? No problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com. Do you have ambitious hiring goals for the last quarter of 2022? With a powerful hiring partner, big goals are no big deal. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Indeed makes hiring all in one place so easy because it takes 10 minutes or less for most small business employers to post a job, according to Indeed Data US. Indeed also has a jaw-dropping pool of talent. In fact, 3 out of 4 U.S. online job seekers search for jobs on Indeed each month, according to Comscore. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to sponsor your job post at Indeed.com/always. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 offer. All right, final thought for today as we wrap things up on a Thursday edition of Always College Football. Wisconsin and Iowa, I saved this one. I avoided it because I knew exactly how Bear was going to feel about it because he's a sharp. But Wisconsin, Iowa, their total opened up at a cool 33.5. That's right. That's not the first half line. That's the total for the game. 33.5. Think about that for a second. So if you're watching that game and the final score is 20-17, you lose. In 2022, if the final score in which a team gets into the 20s, the likelihood of you winning is pretty dang slim. That to me is amazing. The spread, by the way, is just 1. So basically Vegas is saying, hey, it's going to be 17-17 at the end of regulation. All right. That's basically how it's all going to end up. You just take it one direction or the other. You're going to get Wisconsin team total 17.5. You're going to get Iowa team total 16.5. Well, there you go. It's going to be fascinating. Here's the best part about it. Is if I'm looking at this, how can I possibly, after watching these two offenses and knowing how these two teams match up and knowing how these two defensive coordinators like to stop the run and knowing how these two offensive coordinators want to play complementary football and not do too much. Now, I know Wisconsin's changed a little bit. They've adapted a little bit and adjusted a little bit since Jim Leonard's got control of the entire program, but they still are probably not going to get too far down the road going against a very good defense that could flip this thing in a hurry if they get too aggressive. I have to take the under. I have to. At 35, I think I'm taking the under. And I know people will say, dude, that is so weak. You're going to be rooting for like 9-7 type of game. Yeah, I am. Why? Why not? It's November. It's Big Ten football. And any game that's scored into the 20s is not a game I want any part of, especially in the Big Ten West. Give me 3-2 Wisconsin, and I'll be happy. That'll do it for us here at Always College Football. Thanks for being with us. Please like, rate, and subscribe. It's been a great, great week so far. And we're going to have a great day again tomorrow as we preview all the games. We ask some questions. We hit some matchups. We talk about some storylines. You know, Friday's our big picture preview. So we're going to dive in and try to hit these games from every possible angle. For all of us here at Always College Football, for Mark Kubiak, for Jack Foster, I'm Greg McElroy. We really hope you've enjoyed the show. And we hope that you'll be back with us tomorrow. And remember, it's Always College Football.